John chapter 3, if you would, please. If you'd like to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, we're going to read verses 16 through 36. You say, wow, it's a lot of verses. That's not that many. But you join me out loud on the even verses, and I'll read the odd verses by myself. And here we are in John chapter 3 and verse 16. We're starting with probably one of the most famous verses in all of Scripture. You probably don't even need to read it because you have it memorized, which is a good thing, of course. Let's begin together in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon, near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same that baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. As I mentioned, we read last week in Galatians chapter 4. And the focus on the message last week was when the fullness of the time was come. That's when God did what he did. And today we're going to focus on the second part of that phrase, that God sent forth his Son. You understand that this is God's doing. This thing of Christmas is God's doing. This thing of Easter that we celebrate also, it's God's doing. You understand that these things are of God. Hey, we just learned in our Sunday school lesson today that providing salvation was God's doing. It wasn't man's doing. You know, Christmas is not a man-made holiday. Did you understand that? It's not. God sent forth his Son. That event happened. When did it happen? Around this time of year. Did it happen on the 25th? I don't know, and I don't care. Nobody knows. But you know what we do know? That it happened. God did it. And you know what? That's good enough for me. I'm going to celebrate it. Because it's the birth of my Savior. The Savior that God sent
to me. You understand that? And guess what? He sent him to you. Aren't you glad of that? Hey, maybe today you're still not sure about heaven. You're still not sure about if you die today, if you go to heaven. Guess what? You can know him today and you can have him sent to you today. Yeah. Guess what? Free shipping. For a limited time. Oh, no, just kidding. It's not a limited. This is an ongoing sale. Amen. A perpetual sale. God wants us to have his son. God sent forth his son. You say, Pastor, why aren't we reading out of Galatians chapter 4? Because we already read that passage last week. But guess what? John 3 goes with it exceedingly. Look at verse 17. For God sent. Did God send his son? Yes. This was God's doing. He sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent his son to us. So we're going to talk about these things today and as we go through this. But first, you say, why did we read the whole passage there? From John 3:16, which seems to be the focus of your message today, that God sent his son. God gave us the gift of his son, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why did we read about verses 22 through 36 about John the Baptist? Because not only did God send his son, he sent a messenger. He sent a messenger. Did you know about the life of John the Baptist? And about his being and coming into existence? It was a special thing. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1, we'll look at some of these things today, but God sent forth a messenger. The proclaiming of the light of the world had not been left to angels or heavenly creatures. God chose a messenger. God sent a messenger. Do you understand that throughout the time, God has dealt with people through a messenger? Y'all know some guys called the prophets, right? Yeah. What does it always say? The word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, right? It came unto this person, it came unto that person, and God used people. Now, did God use angels to give messages? Yes, he did. But God also used people to give messages. And in this particular case, it was foretold in Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. God sent a messenger. His name was John. If you're there in Luke chapter 1, look what it says in verse 5. In days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. I'm not going to make a comment there. That's something that came to my mind. I'm going to discard that. Okay. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when they went into the temple of the Lord. Let's take a pause right there. Let's think back to last week. Remember the fullness of the time and all that excitement we talked about last week? Do you understand that it was Zacharias' turn? Coincidentally. No! It wasn't coincident. It was on purpose. God designed it that way. That's just a cool thought. It was his turn to do this service. And it says here, according to the custom of the priest's office, and it says in the next verse, it says, the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, that's a pretty cool idea, right? You're in there in the Holy of Holies there offering incense, and this angel appears to you. He says, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. This is a wise husband. He didn't say his wife was old. She's just well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. What a wonderful story. We get a chance to see what God is doing before time. As the fullness of time was approaching and God is setting forth these things in motion, he prepares a messenger. You understand that God wants the message to go forth. And how does the message go forth? With a messenger. God prepared John for this purpose. If you kind of just look down a few verses in verse 39 of the same chapter, we see the importance of this relationship and why Elizabeth and Zechariah were chosen for this particular thing. It says here that Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. You understand, we learn that Mary and Elizabeth are related. You understand that John the Baptist is the cousin of Jesus. And this is a special thing. And God chose this family to be a part of this, not just in the Messiah, which we're going to talk about next, that God sent forth, but the messenger, John the Baptist. He's born and grows up and is held under this Nazirite vow, which is a special thing unto the Lord. And as Gabriel foretold that it would be. We know that he was going to be one out there in the wilderness, right? With the camel's fur and the locusts and the honey and just kind of a wild, weirdo prophet guy, you know? That's what John the Baptist was kind of perceived of. Just crying out in the wilderness, right? Repent! And that's exactly what he was to do. In Mark chapter 1, we know that God said this, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love that phrase. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger. You understand that in Galatians we read about God in sending forth his Son in the fullness of time. But God hasn't just sent his Son, he has sent his messenger.
God has sent His messenger. He wants people to know. He wanted the people in Israel to know about the Savior. He wants us today to know about the Savior. God did this. Not the Baptist church. Not this preacher. Not you. Not those that have come before us. But God. God sent His messenger. God is the one to blame for all of this. Right? Because guess what? It's about Him, not about us. I keep trying to remind people there are so many things to get distracted by. I mean, we're distracted by sin. We're distracted by the world, the ways of the world, the things of the world, the philosophies of the world, all these things. But you know what? We also get distracted by good things. And the devil doesn't care how he distracts us. He just wants us distracted. We've got to stay on course. We've got to stay to the point. You understand that John could have got sidetracked and distracted by a lot of things? But guess what? Did John fulfill his course? Did John stay on course and on target? Oh, yes, he did. Was he liked? Not really. It ended up getting him killed, right? But you understand that John stayed on course. We read the rest of this chapter in John chapter 3 for a reason. Did his words seem to stay on course? Yeah. Because what happened? Jesus and his disciples were baptizing. John was over here baptizing because he was not yet put in prison. And everybody came to him and said, "Hey, John, what do you think about this?" He's like, "This is how it's supposed to be." He said, "I'm just the messenger. That's the Messiah. He must increase. I must decrease." John had this right. He was the right kind of messenger. Anyways, back to Mark chapter 1. It said here that God, he says, "I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and a girdle of skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey and preached, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." We know because of John chapter 1 that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. You see, ladies and gentlemen, as we prepare for this Christmas season, we are messengers sent from God. Does life have purpose? Yes. Does life have meaning? Yes. What is that purpose? To glorify God. What is that meaning? To be a messenger of God. Didn't Jesus say, "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." God wants us to be a messenger of the light. God chose a particular man named John to bear witness of that light. God set it all up. The son of a priest. His mother was of the line of priests of the house of Aaron. And it was his dad's turn to go into the Holy of Holies and offer the incense before the Lord. Listen to me. This is God manifested. God has done this. And guess what? God has called us because he tells us in the scriptures, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me," God says.
He has sent us to be the messenger. Well, not only did God send forth a messenger, God sent forth a Messiah. A Messiah. You understand that God sent His Son. I already read to you that God sent His Son in verse 17 there. God so loved the world in verse 16 that He gave His only begotten Son. Again, not only has God sent a messenger, that God has done this, God has sent His Son. He's done this. Why? For us. For you and for me. So that we might have life. In 1 John chapter 4, John writes and says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." Then he says this, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us." So what is John kind of repeating here? He's kind of repeating John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." So John says, in this, what's the this? Well, the this comes later if you're an English, a student of English, which I caution you about studying English. It's a dangerous thing. Very manipulative, etc. So be careful, cautious as you go. It's a necessary evil. Okay? Math is of God. English is of the devil. You know, just those things. Just want to be clear. Okay, now, so we have God's love. This was manifested, the love of God toward us. What's the this, John? Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. Why? Why did God do that, John? Because of His love. So that we might live through Him. You've heard me say this before. When I was a teenager, the phrase was popular, "Get a life." Brother Dart, thanks for yepping. Okay? We're only about a month apart in age. And unfortunately, we're a lot alike, aren't we, Brother Dart? Don't nod your head, Mrs. Dart. I'm surprised my wife didn't put my age down on the calendar. Did you put my age down on there for the Christmas party? Or the thing? Whatever. The ages of your children. Yeah. Okay. Anyways. No, but we said get a life. I've said this before. You don't have a life until you have Christ. Life begins with Christ. That's when life begins. You understand that Jesus Christ is our life. It's the only way that we can live. John says that God loved us and he manifested this love toward us because that God sent His Son. That we might live through Him. In John chapter 1, in verse 40, we are introduced to Andrew and Simon Peter. It says, "One of the two which heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ." You understand that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the one that God sent to save us from our sins. Again, God sent forth His Son. When? In the fullness of the time. God is the one that has sent to us not only the messenger, but He sent to us the Messiah. We have found Him. He is the Messiah. And we can have life through His name. In John chapter 4, remember the woman at the well? She says to Jesus, "The woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He." You understand that because God did send His Son, we can have life. In John, back in John chapter 1, remember what it says about Jesus being the true light. which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know, in about 30 seconds, I can destroy all those people that say that salvation is of works. It's not of works. It's of God. God sent forth his son. God sent forth his messenger. God sent forth salvation, not man. We have nothing to do with it, ladies and gentlemen. It is not of our own merit. God did it. Just like he did it in the garden, when he provided for man's sin, he provided for your sin and for my sin with his own son that he sent, that he gave. It's God's way. It's what God chose. As we enter this Christmas season, we've got to refocus that this is all of God. God's the one that is orchestrating this thing. You understand that God's still on the throne? Yeah, he is. Because he's still in control of this whole thing. You say, well, it's kind of a mess. Well, it may look that way to you and to me, but he knows exactly what's going on. And in the fullness of the time, he sent forth his son. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ was given as a gift for you? You know, there's great symbolism in many of the things that are in Christmas, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more later on. But do you understand, we're not worshiping all these things. Now, maybe some are. But, you know, things like a Christmas tree, those have symbolism. They symbolize something. I don't worship Christmas trees. I don't go home every night and the Christmas tree in my living room and bow down and worship the Christmas tree. Now, if you do that, you're wrong. I don't go to the little presents under the tree and worship the little presents under the tree. Why do I give gifts? I give gifts because God gave me a gift. There's great symbolism in these things, but what's the focus? God and his son that was sent forth of God for us. In Matthew chapter 1, we know that the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. In Luke chapter 2, the angels came down and said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Matthew 16, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 26, As Jesus was being buffeted and harassed by the high priest, he held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said." I love his answers. I want to be like Jesus. That's why I'm such a smart aleck. No. Doesn't it kind of sound like that? He's like, "Yeah, you said it." you said it. I got to get back to my scripture. Where is it at? Here he goes. "Thou hast said, nevertheless I say to you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need we have we of these witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy." It wasn't blasphemy. You know, like they say about trash talk in sports. It's not trash talk if you can back it up. This wasn't blasphemy. He is the Son of God. And God sent forth His Son to us. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God is true and every man a liar. Man was trying to change the message. They were trying to coerce things. Even in this case in Matthew 26, these witnesses that the high priest spoke of were paid liars. That's what they were. God is true. God sent forth His Son. His name is Jesus. We understand that we are depraved in our nature. And we need a Savior. We need to hear the message from the messenger. And that brings me to the last thing I want to remind us of in this Christmas season. Not only did God send forth the messenger, and that God sent forth the Messiah, but He sent forth the message. What good is a messenger without a message? And what good is a messenger that doesn't have the right message? You know, all throughout time, we have record of false prophets and false messengers. Remember in First Kings 13, maybe, or maybe Second Kings 13, it's one of those. Remember when the guy was supposed to go to Jeroboam and to preach against what Jeroboam was doing in idolatry? Okay, we studied that in one of our Sunday school lessons. I can't remember the exact scripture reference right now, but remember, he was a good man. He was a prophet called by the Lord. God spoke to him and told him what to do. He did it. And he wasn't supposed to eat anything or drink anything in that place. And as he went away from the palace there and was on his way, an apostate prophet came up and met him and said, "An angel told me that you can come and break your vow to the Lord and eat with me." You understand that there are false prophets, folk. There are people that are spewing what seems to be religious things. They say some angel or something told me. No. If God said it, don't go with anything else. You know, I often tell about that preacher that did that. Listen, I'm just stubborn enough that if God actually spoke audibly to me in my ears, I'm not doing anything else till He speaks audibly to my ears again. I'm not believing anything else. That's why I'm such a stickler about following the Word of God. Don't follow these other voices. Don't follow the vain traditions of men. God has given us the message. It's right here. We don't need anything else. And you know what? There's churches out there today that have apostles and prophets that are, "Oh, well, God has given us more prophecy." No, He hasn't. When John penned "Amen" at the end of this book, that was it. There's no more. You say, "Oh, that can't be all." That's all that God knows we can handle. There's no more prophecy today. When it says, "When that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done with." It's ceased. It's over. We have the Word of God. We have the message. And guess who it comes from? God. God sent forth His messenger. God sent forth His Messiah. And God sent forth the message. 1 John chapter 1 says this: "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." In John chapter 1, we know about this light. "In Him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." What did Jesus tell Paul as he was removed from his beast of burden and looked up and said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Jesus told him this. According to Paul's testimony in Acts chapter 26, he was told to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whose message was that? Paul's message? No. It was God's message. That we can have life. As we read here in our text in John chapter 3. In verse 35 says, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, that's the message. That's the message. And guess what? The Bible warns us about people adding to or taking away from the Word of God. Last I checked, the phrase, the Word of God, meant that it was His Word. Not man's Word, not the church's Word, not the world's Word, but God's Word. Not only did God send forth the messenger, God sent forth the Messiah, but He sent forth the message. As the disciples preached, they opened their mouth and they preached Jesus Christ. They boldly spake wherever they went, and people received their words and were baptized and added to the church. Guess whose method that is? That's you old, fuddy-duddy, narrow-minded, independent Baptist. No. It's His message. It's His way. That's what we're to follow, because that is what has been given to us. In 1 John chapter 5, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we have love of the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. This is God's message. He has sent it to us. He has given us the message because He has given us the Word of God. As I continue to read here in 1 John chapter 5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Don't forget what it said back in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, what did John say? He said here that a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. He says, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ. Remember, he said that he must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Didn't John say that? He said, guys, I'm just delivering the message. It's not my message, it's his message. It's his message. He says there that if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. Whose testimony are we repeating? Whose testimony are we sharing with others? God's testimony, that God sent the messenger, and God sent the Messiah, and God sent the message to us. God had testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Gee, it seems like I've heard that before. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Folks, it's a joy to know these things. And in closing today, if you'll turn back to our beginning text in John chapter 3. This then is the message. The message that God sent to us. I love John 3:16 for many reasons. But one of them, I call it the gospel in a nutshell. You understand that the gospel is the message that we're to send forth. When the angels came down and they said the glad tidings to all men, right? You understand that the gospel means good news. And guess what you're supposed to do with good news? Yeah, share it with others. Take a look at this gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world. You know what the gospel message is? A great love. A great love. Greater than any love that we could ever know is God's love. You understand that God's love knows no bounds? The height, the breadth, the width, the depth. Multidimensional. How can we understand the love of God? One of the favorite hymns that I have is that hymn, The Love of God. It's such a beautiful song. It talks about the depth and the unfathomableness. That's a mouthful. Of God's word, of God's love towards. How can we really understand it? You don't have to understand it. You just have to accept it. The great love of God. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's a great gift. I told you it's the gospel in a nutshell. A great love, a great gift. What better gift could anyone receive than the only begotten Son of God? The perfect Lamb of God who was given to be our replacement. That word propitiation has great significance. You understand that Jesus Christ took your place on the cross. You were supposed to die there. I was supposed to die there because we are wicked sinners deserving of death. But he was the perfect Lamb of God that took our place. A great gift. It says here that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Look at the next phrase. That whosoever believeth in him. That's a great opportunity. A great opportunity. Oh, not just a great love and not just a great gift, but a great opportunity. We can be saved. Every one of us. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care who you are. God can save everyone. People ask me, well, Pastor, what about those mass murderers? They can't be saved. Yes, they can. What about rapists and what about those that molest children? Surely they can't be saved. Yes, they can. What about alphabet people? Yes, they can. You understand that it's a whosoever will may come. Now they have to come God's way. They have to do it God's way, not man's way. But they can be saved. What a great opportunity. Hey, aren't those of you that are born again, aren't you glad for your opportunity? Think back to when he sent salvation to you. And you looked at it and said, oh God, I need this salvation. What a great opportunity. That brings me to the next part. Where it says here that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You know what that is? Great deliverance. Great deliverance. For by grace are ye saved through faith. You understand that God's grace is giving us something we didn't deserve. What didn't we deserve? We didn't deserve God's gift. We did not deserve God's deliverance. What is mercy? God not giving us something we did deserve. What did we deserve that God didn't give to us because of Jesus Christ? Death, hell, the lake of fire, condemnation. It's great deliverance. Who's delivering? God is. Then look at the last part. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what that is? A great possession. A great possession. The greatest possession. Guess what? You can have nothing else in this world and have everything in eternal life. You say, but I'm poor. I have no money. I have no house. I have no car. I have no job. I have nothing. But I have Jesus. Then guess what? You have everything. You are the richest of the rich. Why? Because it's the greatest gift. It's Jesus Christ. It's the greatest possession. It's that pearl, right? That the scriptures talk about. It's that treasure that you find in the field and you go sell everything you have and buy the field and get the treasure. It's everything to us, folks. We've got to understand that this is not my message. This is not this church's message. It's God's message that He sent to us. Whosoever will may come. This Christmas season, get off the wagon of the world, the material holiday season, all the bright, sparkly, distracting things, and get on God's wagon. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. He sent forth a messenger. He sent forth the Messiah. And He sent forth the message. Guess what? You and I are God's messengers today. Let's be a messenger for God. Preaching His gift and His message to everyone this Christmas season.